It is believed that our government is helping traffic children. There's over 90,000 missing kids in this country that have come across our borders that the government says they have no idea where their whereabouts are. That should offend everybody.
Hello, everyone. Rebecca Terrell with the New American Magazine. And with me today in the spotlight is Kathleen Wynne, who is running in the Republican primary in Arizona's 6th Congressional District, which is in the southeast corner of the state and includes Tucson. She's running against the incumbent Juan Ciscomani, who has a disgraceful lifetime score of 50% on the John Birch Society's Freedom Index. For instance, he recently voted to continue reckless federal spending and debt accumulation by supporting the bipartisan debt limit deal, which is a recipe for economic catastrophe. And during this Congress, he has also voted against limiting the powers of the Environmental Protection Agency over the domestic energy sector, and also against terminating the Department of Education. Now, Kathleen Wynne says that this kind of rhino Republicanism is offensive as a wife and mother and grandmother, and also as an experienced professional in both private and public sectors. She knows that current Washington policies are leading our country into chaos, and she wants to turn that around. Now, her resume includes experience in news reporting, real estate. She also worked as the community outreach and education director for Arizona's attorney general. She is host of the daily Monday through Friday talk show Wynne Tucson on KVOI, The Voice. And she's also the executive director of Project 25, which is a nonprofit organization that she started. It's dedicated to ending human trafficking. Kathleen, welcome.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Well, it's wonderful to see you again. We have met before, and it was just a delight. And I was on your show, so thank you for returning the favor here.
Absolutely,
and being
I'm happy to be with you, and I appreciate the introduction. That was a walk down memory lane, but I think there's a lot of good work being done in Congress. Unfortunately, my congressman seems to be fighting against us, not for us.
Right. And actually, I was going to mention your campaign website, which is winforarizona.com, is rather unique because one of the top goals that you list is our government should adhere to the Constitution. And you really don't see a whole lot of politicians seeming to be worried about that these days. What's your take on that?
Well, the Constitution is what has made us be the freedom loving country for God that we are. And it seems that we've forsaken it because right now I live in Arizona, as you've mentioned, our border is wide open and everyone talks about it. But the effect, the unintended consequence of that is that we have so much crime. And if we would just enforce our constitution, if we would just follow the rule of law, we could do something about it tomorrow. We could actually make this country safe in a very short amount of time. But there seems to be no political will to do that. So I am standing for the Constitution in the way that the founding fathers intended, that we have small government. Our government is so bloated right now. We have no accountability. We're sending money all over the world. And we don't really know who's getting the money and what they're doing with it. And I think an indication of that is what's just recently happened in Israel.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that you are very dedicated to that issue as well. I want to talk about, though, because you are from Arizona, which is a hotbed for so many issues, not only the secure border, but also election integrity, which you list on your website, too, as a top priority. You know, a lot of people are shying away from that because if you talk about election integrity, you're an election denier. Have you been accused of that?
I haven't been accused of it, but I try to come at topics not from a political side, but from a factual side. Mm-hmm. And what we know is that just in my primary election last time I ran, this is not my first go around in this race, although there were five of us last time, there's now just myself and Congressman Ciscomani. But in one of our five counties that comprise this congressional district, there were no ballots as of 7:30 in the morning. 48,000 ballots did not make it to 33 polling places. That is not a fair, that is not a free election. And that was a district that I was favored to win. So, you know, would all 48,000 have voted for me? Probably not. But to not have the ability to have ballots readily available for a district, that's a problem. And I had sued prior to the election, and the judge had kind of bullied us into dropping our lawsuit because they said, oh, you're going to hold up the election. In hindsight, I wish I had, because this has been Arizona, as we know, has been a mess in their election since 2020, when Donald Trump allegedly lost by 10,000 ballots. But what we've discovered is that we've had the Navajo Nation voting in both New Mexico and Arizona. We've had ballots that were voted, you know, not a large amount, but by dead people. We had people that didn't request ballots, and they voted. So there are many implications and issues. The fact that the person who's now the governor was the Secretary of State at the time, and they admitted that they had issues with the ballots. So I think Arizona's election problems are well known throughout the country. And so it's not denying, it's factually reporting the ballot size changing. There's so many issues. We could take an hour.
Right. But
I think it's important that we get the word out. And if getting the word out, suppression of speech, let's go back to our Constitution. We have to stand up for these things at this time, if nothing else, but to keep a record of the breakdowns that are happening in our state and in the country. You know, Arizona is not unique. Georgia, Pennsylvania, right. Wisconsin, Michigan, they've had issues also. It's not even personal to Arizona. But 2000 Mules, as that film that came out, was based on San Luis, Arizona, which they had ballot trafficking. So unfortunately, we're the poster child for bad elections.
Yes. So, and you're right about all of these issues overlapping one another, because if you don't adhere to the Constitution, you're not going to have election integrity. If you don't secure the borders, you're not going to have public safety. You know, if your education is going to go out the window. And I know that these are all, I'm touching on all these because these are issues that you list on your website. And also, you know, it runs the open border issue must be very close to your heart because of your work with Project 25. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure. So Project 25 is a 10-year commitment to end sexual exploitation, sex trafficking. I started in 2015. My commitment to God is for 10 years, 2025. I joke about whether that means January 1st, 2025 or December 31st, 2025. But we work with law enforcement to bring technology resources to help them. There's a shortage of officers, as we know, and we have done that. We've brought training, and then we help find missing children. And over the last 5 years, we found 27 missing kids. The most famous case that has just recently been in the press is the Alicia Navarro case. Alicia went missing out of Glendale, Arizona. She was missing for 4 years, and she came forward. Which is how we found her, but we kept her name and her information out there. But you mentioned the border. Right now, it is believed that our government is helping traffic children. There's over 90,000 missing kids in this country that have come across our borders that the government says they have no idea where their whereabouts are. That should offend everybody. And we look at what's happening in Israel and other places around the world. We've had over 166 different countries come to our border, and we have no idea where millions of people are in our country. But we do know that these children are missing, and let's not hope for the worst. But right now, if you don't know where someone is and you're not accountable, then you're part of the problem.
Right. And by the way, I have to do a hat tip really quickly to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, because that age analysis photo that they created of her, you know, yes, age progressed to the 4 years, was almost spot on accurate. for the Alicia Navarro. They do such a wonderful job, and I know you work closely with them probably in your work.
We do, and I love the work that they do. I do have to say that the gentleman that kidnapped her is now in jail for unrelated charges of child porn. That happened since I've seen you, and I'm grateful to God and to everyone who's worked on this case that mom and daughter, after 4 years, have been reunited. And someone who walked with this mom for the majority of this time, she finally has her family back together now. It is, so much work and trauma and so many things that they have been through that they're going to have to heal. Yeah. And so they're asking for privacy, but so grateful to be able to assist in this way. And so we know that we're doing our purpose when, we have these kind of outcomes. And as a result of this one child, it's what led us to many of the other missing children that we recovered, because people knew that we were looking and they came to us to help us find their children. And so I feel it's some of the hardest work that I do, and it's some of the most rewarding work that I get to do. And I feel really privileged.
That is wonderful. Absolutely. Well, you sound like you are all set for a good campaign, because you have so much experience under your belt. Now, this is not your first foray into politics and campaigning. Can you give us some of that background?
Well, I've been politically active my whole adult life. Senator Goldwater was inspiring to me as a college graduate, but I helped work on Tom Horn's campaign when he became the attorney general. I myself served on the Maricopa Community College Governing Board, which is one of the largest community college governing boards in the country. We had a budget of $2 billion. And I have helped many candidates in my state get elected. And I did run and lose the last time for this, but I think there's been a clear, based on voting record, I am a conservative. I am the more conservative person in this race, and we need conservative values. We need to follow the law. You can't be making laws and then circumventing them at the same time and saying that you're a conservative Republican. And so I think it's important that we draw the contrast between myself and my opponent, and I have a background in private sector. I only spent 4 years in government. Government is government solving your problems, and we're in serious trouble, because the government doesn't seem to solve anything, and they seem to make matters worse. And one would just have to look at this country over the last 3 years. And I was supporter of Donald Trump. My opponent was a supporter of Joe Biden. I think that says it all. And I don't know how anyone can look at the Biden policies right now and believe that that's the best direction for this country. And whether you love Donald Trump or hate Donald Trump's personality, his policies and what he did for this country, we were energy independent. We had jobs, lowest unemployment rate in decades. We had world peace. We were safe. We were secure. Our borders were not wide open. Between the drugs and the human beings pouring into my state every day, thousands and thousands of people, we need to change direction.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you for that, and I do wish you well in your campaign. Let's tell our listeners how to find out more and how to get in contact with you.
They should go to winforarizona.com, winforarizona.com. It's time that we restore government back to the people. It is a congressional race, but I wanted my voters to remember that I would be here representing them, not special interests. So winforarizona.com, info@project25.world. We are still doing both things. I'm grateful for the opportunities that I get, and I just want to fight for the American people and restore justice and safety to our country.
Well, I know that's an ambitious date of 2025 to end human trafficking, but I'm sure God will not hold it against you if you make December 31st of 2025.
I'm hoping that he's got a miracle up his sleeve and that we get to by January 1st, 2025.
Well, he will end it.
Congress, right?
That's right. He will end it one of these days, and we can only hope that we can be the tools that he uses to do that. Kathleen, thank you so much for your time today, and we do wish you the best in your campaign.
Rebecca, thank you for having me, and I'll update you as we go, and have a blessed day.
Sounds good.
Imprisonment, forced labor, permanent separation from my family, perhaps death. I knew what could happen to people who were caught trying to defect, but the watchtowers stood yards away. The possibility of a new life in a different world, one without tyranny, was within sight. The West. I thought of the rewards no longer crushed under the boot of communism. I would work and make money, no longer restrained by the chains of collectivism. I would say what I wanted, without fear of spies and informants nearby. I would be free. The frozen rain and Romanian mud seeped through my gloves and cloths. I fantasized about a fire burning in the wood stove of my parents' home, but I pushed those thoughts from my mind, closed my eyes, and waited for the cover of the darkness.
Get Defector, a true story of tyranny, liberty, and purpose by Mark Hobovkovich with Paul Dragoo. A thrilling page-turner that will remind you how precious yet vulnerable freedom is. Available at shopjbs.org or Amazon. For a limited time, get 20% off your entire order using promo code DEFECTOR20 when you purchase Defector at shopjbs.org.